Brother Cox, Pastor Cox, come and minister to us in Jesus' name.
Everyone said amen. Everyone said amen. Beautiful presence of the Lord is in this house one more time tonight. Amen, amen, amen. How many believe that God's not done? I believe God still has one more powerful outpouring of His Spirit that He is going to unleash in our presence. Amen. I prayed before service today and I asked God, I said, God, I said, I want to experience your glory tonight in such a manner like we have yet to see in this entire camp. And I believe in just a few moments, the glory of God is going to fall in this place. And there's going to be an explosion of God's presence and His power in this house. You believe that? Shout amen. Amen. Let me just quickly say thank you to Brother Parrish and the district board for allowing me to come and be a part of this great Alaska Yukon district. Let me say what a privilege and honor it is for me to be able to be with Brother Glover and Brother Scott and this awesome youth team. Let's give them a great big hand. They're doing an awesome job. Awesome job. That's all right. They deserve it. They're doing awesome. Amen. Let me just say what a privilege it has been for me this week to be able to team up with Brother Lopez. My, he has knocked it out of the park every single time he has spoken. Amen. What a tremendous ministry he has. Amen. I know when I get back home, I'm going to be letting the youth president and secretary of Illinois, if they don't already know about you, they need to know about you. Need to bring you to Illinois and let you minister to our young people. What an awesome job he has done. To all the camp workers, we well know that you guys are the ones that work the hardest during this week, and we give you honor. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for everything that you have done to make my wife and I feel so welcome. Thank you. We give you honor tonight. And last and not least, I want to give great honor to the young people of the Alaska Yukon District. You guys are awesome. 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 Oh. I mean this with all sincerity. If my wife and I would consider it a success in our ministry this week, if we are and were half the blessing to you that you have been to us this week, and we mean that with all of our hearts, we have fallen in love with the youth of the Alaska Yukon District. God bless you. Thank you so much. Now, there might be some that would understand if we just kind of took tonight and just took it easy. There might be some that would kind of say, you know what? Those young people have went after it for 3 or 4 days, and they're probably wore out. So if they don't worship like they've been worshiping, that's going to be all right. And if they don't pray in the altar like they've been praying, that's all right. We understand. But I just wonder if there's any young people in the house of the Lord tonight that are willing to say, listen, we got one more chance. We got one more shot. We got one more move of God. We've got one more word from the Lord. We've got one more chance to respond in this altar. And I'm going to receive everything that I can. I'm going to receive everything that I can from God. Before when I leave this auditorium tonight, I want to be so wore out. When I leave this place tonight, I want to be dripping with sweat. I want to be just wrung out from the things of God. Is that the way you feel tonight? Are you going to give it everything you've got tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus' name. You may be seated. If I could have more monitor, please. My voice is going very quickly. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I have heard from the Lord concerning the message for this evening. It is God's will for every young person in this room to hear what thus saith the Lord and to respond to that word with everything that you have. I believe this service will change the course of not only some young person's life, but it is going to change the course of your youth group, your church, and your entire city. I believe that. There is going to be an apostolic demonstration of God's Spirit that sweeps in this room in just a few moments, that if you will allow it to, will change everything about who you are. For those of you in this room who desire it, and for those in this room who want it, there's going to be a spiritual impartation that descends into this room. I turn your attention to the gospel according to Luke when it says this in Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. Then, somebody say then. Then he, this is Jesus, called his 12 disciples together. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Skipping down to verse 6. And they departed, and they went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Notice, if you will, our text says, then he called his 12 disciples. And it is this calling that I want to focus on for just a little while this evening, for I feel to speak on this subject. The second calling. The second calling. The Bible says that when God works his divine plan, that he does it line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. So, therefore, if we are dealing with the second calling, which I will explain in just a few moments, there must have been first a first calling. For we know that the calling of Christ that the disciples heard on that day was not a new thing for them, for they had heard the calling of Christ in their life previously. I picture it a sunny day as Peter, James, and John were sitting silently on the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee, quietly mending their nets for the evening's fishing trip, when Jesus walks by and speaks to them, calling them, a calling upon their life that caused them to stop mending their nets. For he called to them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew heard the call as he was counting money at the seat of customs, when Jesus walks by him and says two simple words, "Follow me." The others were chosen in a sunrise service on top of a mountain, for the scripture says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 13, "And when it was day, he called unto him disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." So what was this first calling that we find that Jesus spoke into the life of the disciples to follow him? The first calling was for them to forsake their old way of living. The first calling was for them to quit doing the things that they were used to doing. They had to leave behind counting the money. They had to leave behind fishing in the nets and the boats that were there. The first calling caused them to quit going to the places that they used to go. They had to turn their backs on their lifestyles and old lifestyles in order to start following after Jesus. That was the first calling that happened in their lives. And I have to ask the question this evening, are there any young people in the house who've turned your back on the way that you used to live? Are there any young people in the house who have turned your back on the way that you used to talk and the way you used to live and the way you used to dress and the way you used to act? Are there any young people in the house who've decided that no matter what, you're going to turn your back on everything that is worldly and everything that is ungodly, and you are going to follow after Jesus with everything that you have within you? The first calling in our lives is spoken about in the epistles when it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are first, somebody say, we're first called. We are called first by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Is there anybody in the house tonight who has responded to the first calling and you have repented of your sins and you have been baptized in the name of Jesus and you have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and you are striving to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord? Is there anybody glad that you have been forgiven? Is there anybody glad that you have had your sins washed away? Is there anybody glad that there has been a new nature placed within you? Is there anybody glad that the old man has passed away and all things have become new? Is there anybody glad that you have followed after the first calling of Jesus Christ to forsake everything else and follow after him? Somebody said amen. Anybody glad about it? I don't necessarily want to talk and focus on the first calling, for I believe that the Holy Ghost would have us to look at the second calling. For when God does something, he does it line upon line, and here a little, and here there a little, and he had to do the first calling before he could ever do the second calling. And so we look at our text in Luke 9 and 1, and it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So we see that he has already called them out of their old lifestyle. He has already called them out of that which they used to do. But now we see that he has called them with a second calling. And that second calling is for them to participate in apostolic ministry. Up until now, they have only been watching his ministry. But now he was calling them to participate in apostolic ministry with him. Hear me, young person. God's purpose for your life, I think Brother Lopez spoke on it today. God's purpose for your life was not for you to just respond to the first calling and then stop there. God did not just save you so you could sit on a pew and do nothing. God did not save you just so you could spiritually exist. God did not save you so you could twiddle your thumbs until the rapture happens. He didn't save you so you could get a good job and pay tithes and warm a seat in the church. No, he called you with his gospel first so that then he would have somebody else to impart spiritual power and spiritual authority to in order to operate in an apostolic ministry. He has given some young person a second calling. There is a second calling going forth in this house tonight to some young person to be a devil chaser, to be a prayer warrior. He's given some young person a calling tonight in order to witness the miraculous in your life, to cast out demons, to lay hands on the sick, to be a powerful witness to a lost world. I wish I could get some young people to believe me right now.
You need to stop believing that apostolic ministry is just for the 30-year-olds and the 40-year-olds and the 50-year-olds. If you've been called with the first calling, then it's God's will for you to be called with the second calling. If you've got the Holy Ghost, God is looking for you. There is a calling going forth in this room for you to be used in apostolic ministry. Somebody shout amen. I've got a young girl, teenage girl in my church that had some pretty traumatic things happen to her a few years ago. Really messed her up emotionally. Through it all, she stayed in church, but for the longest time, she wouldn't pray. She wouldn't come to the altar, just kind of sat there. When she would come to the altar, all she would do was cry, and it was not really tears of good tears necessarily. It was tears of shame and pain. Hurt. But some time ago, we were having a great service. The move of God was moving, that the Spirit of God was moving, the glory of God was falling in that house just like it is in this room tonight. And another young teenage girl in my church felt directed by God to go lay hands on this other girl and pray for her. I didn't tell her to do it. She felt directed of the Holy Ghost to do so. Not only that, but she felt like God told her that if she would pray for her, that girl would be healed of all of the emotional trauma that happened to her. Now, she didn't know the extent of the other girl's issues, and it didn't matter that she didn't know. For she just knew that God had told her that if she would lay her hands on her, that her friend would be healed. So that's exactly what she did. She went over to her in the midst of that altar service, and she laid her hands upon her and began to pray. And when she got done praying, she looked her right in the eye and told her, she said, "You are healed, and you're never going to have to fight this stuff again." Let me tell you what happened. It wasn't but just a few weeks after that that the girl with these emotional issues texted my wife and I and said, "I just want you to know that when you see me crying in the altar now, it is no longer out of shame or pain or guilt, but now I am crying because of the joy of the Holy Ghost that I feel." What was it that brought about that miracle? It was a 15-year-old girl who decided she was going to respond to the second calling of God and walk in apostolic ministry. So here's my question. I wonder how many miracles would happen in our churches across Alaska, Yukon District in the next 3 months if 5 of you or 10 of you or 20 of you would respond to the second calling of God that is going to go forth in this room. I wonder how many miracles you would see personally before next year's youth camp if you would simply respond to the second calling of God on your life tonight. I wonder what would happen in your churches. I wonder what would happen in your youth groups. I wonder how many supernatural events could take place if 10 or 15 of you would take something home tonight and you would respond and you would allow God to lead you to a higher dimension of apostolic authority. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Teenage girl saw the church van sitting in the parking lot every Sunday, never being used. So she asked her pastor, she said, "Pastor, if I can get the kids to ride the bus, will you get somebody to drive the bus?" Let me tell you what happened. She ended up filling up that van. Every single Sunday, filling up that van. And so what did she do? She went to her pastor and said, "Pastor, if you'll buy another van, I'll fill that one up too." And that's exactly what she did. The pastor bought another van. She filled that one up. Why would she do such a thing? Why would she take time out of her schedule to go and knock doors and talk to those kids? She did it because she heard a second calling of God over her life, and she responded to it. She responded to it. She responded to it.
Listen, here's what I want you to understand. How many of you have heard stories, preachers have preached at pastors at your youth camps and your holiday, whatever you guys call it here, your youth conventions and all that. You've heard stories of teenagers that have turned their world upside down. You've heard that story. You've heard about that guy in Michigan, or you've heard about that girl in California. You've heard about this person in Illinois that did this and that. You've heard that story. You want to know what the difference between them and you are? Nothing. They're not any more spiritual than you. They're not any more godly than you. They're not any more plugged in than you. Here's the only difference is this. They felt the second calling of God upon their life for apostolic ministry, and they said yes. That's the only difference. You've got the Holy Ghost. You've already responded to the first call. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost to turn your world upside down. You just got to say yes to the second calling. Somebody shout amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you about Justin. Justin is a teenager in my youth group back home. Great guy. Loves the Lord. Quiet. Just doesn't want to be up front. Just a good kid that loves God. He's not outstanding in really anything. Just a great kid that loves God. A little while ago, we were having a service, and I just felt in my spirit that at some point in that service, I was going to make a call to everyone who wanted to receive a miracle in their life. So I was planning on doing that, but right before I did, I felt a check in the Holy Ghost, and I felt prompted of the Holy Ghost to have Justin come up and pray the prayer of faith over everyone who had came up to receive their miracle. Now, I don't think Justin had ever even been on the platform, much less leading a prayer in a microphone in front of a bunch of people. But at some point in that service, I just made my way down to where Justin was. And I said, Justin, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something. I didn't even tell him what he was going to do. I said, I'm going to ask you to do something. And you just need to do it with confidence and believe that God's going to help you. He said, okay. So I brought him up in front. So I called everybody. You need a miracle. Come on down front. Everybody's coming down. And they're standing. There's all kind of needs there. And they're standing there. And I brought Justin up to the front. And I told him that I wanted him to pray the prayer of faith over all of those in the altar. And he took that microphone. And no, he didn't do it maybe like I would have done. And he didn't do it like maybe like Brother Lopez or somebody. But you want to know, he did it like Justin did it. He took that microphone and he began to pray. And when he began to pray, it was like the windows of heaven opened up in that place. And when that happened, the glory of God fell. People started weeping. People started dancing. People started shouting. People started rejoicing all over that altar. And there were several that said, I've been healed. I've been healed. I've been blessed. I've been delivered. Was Justin nervous? Yes, but he responded to the second calling anyway. Was he scared? Absolutely. Scared out of his ever-loving mind. But he grabbed that mic anyway, and he prayed anyway, and God blessed it. He said yes to the second calling, and God anointed that. Was he out of his comfort zone? Absolutely. But he responded to the second calling anyway. Hear me. God is not looking for perfection. He is simply looking for some young person who will be willing to step out in faith and allow God to use you in a dimension of apostolic ministry like never before. Oh, hallelujah. You may be seated. Acts chapter 3. Watch this. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. They laid him there every single day of his life. Sat there and he begged, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms of them. Verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received their strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked. He leaped up, he stood. And he walked, and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping, praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Remember now, this man was at that same gate every single day of his life. He had his own little spot there. He knew every inch of that area. He knew where every crack was. He knew where every pebble was. He was there every single day. For him, that was his comfort zone. That's where he was every day. He was comfortable in that spot. He was used to that spot. He was acclimated to that spot. Everybody that knew him associated him with that spot because that's where he always was. It was his comfort zone. But then we see that this man received a miraculous touch from the Lord. And the Bible says, I need one of you guys, quickly, come here, right there. Come here. Run. Up here. Right here. You're the lame man. Get down. So this is his comfort zone. He knows this place. Everybody that looks at him associates him with this spot. It's his comfort zone. But then he receives a miraculous touch from God. And you're ahead of me, bud. He receives a miraculous touch from God. And the Bible says that he leaps up. Then He leaps and he stands. Leaping was something he had never done before. Standing was something that he had never done before. But then the Bible says that he begins to walk. But here's what I need for you to see. Acts 3 and 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Watch. Those around him only noticed him when he began to walk away from the place that he had always been. Come here. Because here's why. Get back down. When he leaped up, he's never done that before, but he's still in his comfort zone. When he stood, he's standing there, and he's probably like, oh, thank the Lord, I've been healed, blah, 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 whatever. But nobody notices him because he's still in his comfort zone. But when he walks away from his comfort zone, the world takes notice. The world takes notice when he leaves his comfort zone. Hear me right now. I've come to tell some young person that it is great that you are shouting, and it is great that you are leaping, and it is great that you are praising God. But if all you ever do is leap and jump and dance in your comfort zone, then the world is never going to recognize the blessings of God that are on your life. If all you ever do is praise God and live for God and serve God in your safe little comfort zone, then this world is never going to witness the miraculous touch of God that is on your life. But if you'll make a decision tonight, I'm going to leave the comfort zone and I'm going to respond to the second calling of God that is on my life. That is when your friends are going to step up and take notice. That's when your world is going to take notice. That's when your family that are unsaved are going to take notice. Somebody shout yes. You got to walk away. You got to walk away from what's comfortable. You got to walk away from that place you've always been. You got to walk out of your comfort zone because this world is never going to notice you. You've got to respond to the second calling of Jesus Christ.
Listen, I'm going to skip over a bunch, but I got to give you this last point. God spoke to me this. Exodus 3 and 1. I'm skipping over a bunch. Exodus 3 and 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And Moses looked and beheld the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And God began to speak to him the purpose and the plan for his life. So here we see that there was this supernatural event taking place where the presence of God was being made manifest in the form of a burning bush. But here's what I want you to notice. For the book says that Moses first looked at the bush that burned with fire. But then he says that he turned aside, which denotes that he began to walk towards having an encounter with the burning bush, being in closer proximity to the burning bush. And the word of the Lord says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside, then God could begin to speak to him. You've got to catch this tonight. The Bible says that when the Lord saw that Moses was willing to pursue after the miraculous, when the Lord saw that Moses was willing to pursue after the supernatural, then God said, I can now start to speak to him. I can now start giving him instruction for what I want him to accomplish in his life. Because God knew what he wanted Moses to accomplish in his life was going to include casting his rod down, and it was going to turn into a serpent. Miraculous. Supernatural stuff. Later on, Moses was going to be lifting up his hand, and the Red Sea was going to be parting. Miraculous. Supernatural stuff. Later on, Moses was going to be causing water to come out of a rock. Supernatural, miraculous stuff. Later on, God was going to put Moses in the cleft of a mountain and allow his glory to pass by and allow Moses to see that which he could handle. Miraculous stuff.
But before any of that could ever happen, God was waiting to see if Moses would be interested enough in the supernatural to turn aside from that which represented his ordinary life in order to pursue after the miraculous. You've got to get this, and I'm done. God divinely orchestrated that whole burning bush moment and then watched how Moses was going to react to it. And however Moses would react to it would dictate whether or not God was going to be able to use him for miraculous ministry. And under the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now, I feel so strongly impressed to tell you that this service, this moment, is the burning bush moment for every camper under the sound of my voice. Hear me. And I don't say this lightly. I say this under the fear of God. But God has created this burning bush moment right now. And the God of all heaven is even right now watching each and every one of you to see how you are going to respond. For he is looking for teenagers who will be willing to turn aside from the average, the ordinary, and the commonplace living that most all other teenagers are living in order to pursue after a supernatural touch of God. He's watching. He's watching. He's watching. It's not about the music. It's not about who's preaching. This is a burning bush moment right here. And the eyes of heaven are watching every single camper on this place to see if you are interested in pursuing a life that is not typical, a life that is not mediocre. He's looking. He's watching to see if you will desire to seek after an apostolic anointing. Who will respond to the second calling that is going forth in this room? What young person God is watching right now who is going to pursue after a life of apostolic ministry with everything within you? God is watching. Who is it that's going to show that you are serious about being used in the gifts of the Spirit? You're serious about using about being used by God to lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're serious about being used by God to cast out devils and to bring an unprecedented revival into your city. Who's it gonna be? Who's it gonna be? Who's it gonna be? Who's it gonna be? We're going to have music in just a moment. But Moses didn't have music. All he had was a burning bush. All he had was the presence of God. Who's it going to be? Come on, don't look at me right now. God is looking at you right now. Don't look at me for direction. God is looking for you. He's looking at you. The eyes of heaven are on you right now. He's looking to see your response. He's looking to see your response. I realize there might be some who've already tuned me out and you're already mentally checked out of this camp. But if there might just be five of you, if there might be 10 of you, that's all right. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it that'll say yes, yes, yes to the second calling? Hiya ya halo bokoya. Hiya ya halo bokoya halal habaka.
Come on. God's already dealt with your sin. We've already dealt with your issues. The Holy Ghost has already dealt with your shortcomings. That's already been dealt with. Now God's given you another calling. He's given you a higher calling. He wants to use you in ministry. He wants to use you in apostolic ministry. He's watching. He's waiting. He's looking. Who is it going to be? Who is it going to be that steps up? What 12-year-old is going to say yes? What 14-year-old is going to say yes? What 17-year-old is going to say yes? God, I want it. God, I want it. God, I want it. I want to leave my comfort zone behind. I've been in this comfort zone for too long. I've been in this comfort zone for too long. I'm stepping out tonight. The world is going to know the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's on me. When I get back home, under the authority of my pastor and under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to turn my world upside down for the cause of Christ. I'm interested in the supernatural. I believe God's talking to some adults in this room as well. Yes. Come on, young people. Come on, young people. This is your burning bush moment. Are you just going to look at it, or are you going to turn aside? Are you just going to watch somebody else participate in it, or are you going to participate in it? It's for everybody. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. There is an apostolic dimension in this house. There is an apostolic dimension in this house. The eyes of God are watching. Holy Ghost, have your way. Holy Ghost, fall in this room. Holy Ghost anointing, fall in this room right now. Come on. He's calling you to something so much greater. He's calling you for something so much greater. There's a greater calling. Just because you've never seen it doesn't mean you can't see it. Just because it's never happened doesn't mean it can't happen. He's calling you to a higher dimension. He's calling you to experience things you've never experienced before. He's calling you to walk in a dimension of his authority that you've never walked in before. But you gotta say yes.
Hallelujah.
No longer will I be that teenager that just shows up for church and sits on a pew. No longer will I be a teenager that doesn't play a role. No longer will I be a teenager that has no impact on my youth group and my church. But I say yes to the second calling. I say yes to being used in apostolic ministry. I say yes. Come on, that's it. Nobody can respond for you but you. Nobody can cry out to God for you. Nobody can say yes but you. Yes. 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 I want it. I want it, God. I want it more than anything. I want to be used by you greater than I've ever been used by you before. Yes. 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 Listen, I need your attention right now. I need your attention right now. I'm not stopping anything. You're going to understand in just a moment. The Lord has responded to your response. I want you to stand. I want everybody to take about 5 or 10 steps back. I want us to leave a space right here. Before we could do what we're about to do, God first had to see who was going to respond. to your personal burning bush moment. He first had to see if you were going to be interested in the supernatural. And in these last few moments, I believe God has saw that. If you are one of those individuals, please do not come up here because your friends are. You absolutely are saying, God, I say yes to the second calling over my life. If that is you, I want you to get as close as you can to this front. Listen, don't, hold on, just come up here. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So they chose all these people who were interested in the second calling of God on their life, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So the church, the elders, found a bunch of individuals who were saying yes to the second calling. And they laid their hands on them. And they prayed over them. And they released them into apostolic ministry. That is what is about to happen in this room right now. Every young person in this place who has said yes to the second calling, God has saw that. And now you are about to be released under the direction and authority of your pastor always. You are about to be released in apostolic ministry. If we could get ministers, you don't have to be a preacher, a minister, to kind of just filter in amongst these kids, these young people. I've asked Brother Bagwell. I felt this so strong in prayer tonight. I wasn't even thinking about this, and I felt like God spoke to me and had for me to have Brother Bagwell get up here and pray a prayer of impartation. And when he prays, and when these apostolic women, and when these apostolic men begin to listen, if you're a minister, you don't have, unless you just feel impressed to, you don't have to stay on one young person for 5 or 10 minutes because we got to lay hands on all of them. You want to just pray a prayer and just release them into the Holy Ghost. Release them into apostolic. It's already happening. But just release them into apostolic ministry. Listen, when Brother Bagwell prays, when he gets done, there is going to be an explosion of the Holy Ghost in this place. And what you are feeling is divine impartation of the supernatural to accomplish everything that God has called you to accomplish in the second calling of apostolic ministry. Brother Bagwell, pray for it.
By the authority that has been set over these services, by the authority of the Word of God, by the authority of my pastor, by the authority of the Holy Spirit, I pray right now for every young man, every young lady, dear God, that they would be released, that the apostolic gifts and apostolic anointing, apostolic submission, apostolic healing, God, the power of the Holy Ghost would be released in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, let it fall. Let it rain down on us tonight. In the name of Jesus.
Yes! Holy Ghost, fall in this house. 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 Let your glory fall. Let your glory fall. Let your glory fall. Never gonna be the same again. Never gonna be the same again. Never gonna be the same again. You are leaving this camp with an apostolic authority. Demons are going to tremble in your presence. I'm not going back to what I was. I've got some apostolic impartation. I've received an apostolic authority. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. That's it. Go ahead and rejoice. That's it. Go ahead and rejoice. You have received apostolic authority. You have received apostolic power. You've got a reason to shout. You've got a reason to rejoice. You've got a reason. Yes. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hallelujah! That's it. Go after it. Go after it. Listen, as crazy as it sounds, I want you to listen to me right now. I feel one more direction for this. I felt it in prayer before service. One more direction. There's about to be another wave of the Holy Ghost that sweeps through this place. One more direction, then I'm going to be done. If our music could come. This is what God spoke to me before service. I want you to preach. There's going to be some young people who respond to it, say yes to it. And then I'm going to confirm my word with signs following. Young people, listen. We have prayed for you. Now you are going to pray for us. I wonder if everybody would, one more time, take about 10 steps back. I wonder if there are any non-campers that need a miracle. Physical miracle, financial miracle, relational miracle, spiritual miracle. I need your help right now. I promise you're going to receive something from God. If that's you, if you could, if you're able to, I want you to come right here. Any non-campers, any in the back, please come if you need a miracle. Non-campers, you need a miracle. I'll wait for just a moment. As you push your way through, non-campers that need a miracle. Young people, hear me right now. You have received apostolic authority to lay your hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You have received, you have received an apostolic dimension to lay your hands on those in need, and God will meet their need. It is not just reserved for your pastor or your youth pastor. But under the direction of your pastor and spiritual authority, you have received the same Holy Ghost that they have received and the same power that they have received. You, listen, you have got to know when you lay your hands on them, be it tonight, next week, or next month, that you have received something within you in this altar that gives you the faith and the power and the anointing to witness the supernatural in your life. If you are a non-camper and you need a miracle in your life, I want you to lift up both hands. Campers, those of you who know that you have received the power from God to lay your hands on someone and they will receive a miraculous touch of the Holy Ghost, I want you to lay your hands on these individuals right now. Do not pray timid prayers. Do not pray timid prayers. Do not pray timid prayers. Pray with authority. Pray with authority. Pray with authority. You've got it. Use it. You've got it. Use it. Use it. Faith. Speak it by faith. Speak it by faith. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it done. Yes! Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name.